يقول: الإخوة في مسجد السنة في لندن يحبونك في الله عز وجل.
جزاهم الله خير وأحبهم كما أحبون في، وسلموا عليهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على رسوله الأمين محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحديث الرابع عشر من الأحاديث الأربعين النووية عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث: الثيب الزاني، والنفس بالنفس، والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله: جاء الإسلام بالضرورات الخمس، وهي حفظ الدين بقتل المرتد الذي يتلاعب بالدين، وحفظ العقل بحفظه من كل ما يضره من المسكرات والمخدرات، وحفظ النفس بالقصاص من القاتل، وحفظ المال بقطع يد السارق وقاطع الطريق، وحفظ العرض بجلد القاذف الذي يقذف المسلم بالزنا أو فعل الفاحشة، فإنه يجلد 80 جلدة إلا أن يأتي بأربعة شهود يثبتون ما يقول، وإلا فإنه يجلد، وهذا حفظ لأعراض المسلمين. وفيه حفظ النسل، لأن الزنا يخلط الأنساب ويسبب الأمراض ويذهب بالحياء، فخطره عظيم. فهذه الضرورات جاء الإسلام بحفظها، ولهذا قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث: لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم. فمن شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله فإنه دخل في الإسلام وحرم دمه وماله، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة، فإن فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام، وحسابهم على الله. فمن أظهر الإسلام قبلنا واحترمنا دمه وعرضه وماله وصار أخا لنا، فلا يجوز التعدي عليه إلا إذا ارتكبت إحدى ثلاثة أمور، فإنه يحل دمه ولو كان مسلما حفظا للضرورات. وهذه الأمور هي: الأول النفس بالنفس، والقصاص. قال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص. كتب يعني فرض، فالقصاص فرض إذا طالب به المجني عليه أو وليه، ويجب على ولي الأمر أن ينفذ القصاص حفظا للدماء. قال تعالى: ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تتقون. فإذا ترك القصاص سفكت الدماء وانتشر الخوف والرعب في المجتمع. أما إذا قتلت نفس واحدة ظالمة ارتدع الجميع وأمن المجتمع وحقنت الدماء، وهذا لا يكون إلا في الإسلام. أما أنظمة الكفر والأنظمة البشرية فإنها تمنع القتل وتحمي الظالم والمعتدي وتساعده، ولا ترحم المجني عليه ولا ترحم المجتمع، وإنما ترحم الظالم المعتدي وتحميه. وغاية ما يعملون معه أنهم يحكمون عليه بالسجن 500 سنة أو 400 سنة أو مدى الحياة، ثم يعفون عنه ويخرجونه، فهم يشيعون فقط أنهم حكموا عليه بهذا الحكم. وأما التنفيذ فليس هناك تنفيذ، ولو نفذ فإنه لا يكفي، بل لا بد من الحسم والقصاص منه بقتله، وهذا رحمة من الله عز وجل. الثاني الثيب الزاني، الثيب الذي وطأ امرأته المسلمة أو الذمية في نكاح صحيح، فإنه صار محصنا بهذا الزواج، فإن زنى بعد ذلك الزواج صار من المفسدين في الأرض، لأنه أدرك حرمة الأعراض وجرب الزواج، فليس له عذر في تعديه، وعنده ما يغنيه بالنكاح الصحيح الشرعي المفيد. إذا زنى فهذا دليل على خبثه وأنه يريد الشر والفساد، فهذا يستباح دمه ويقتل بكيفية خاصة وهي الرجم، بأن يرجم بالحجارة حتى يموت. وهذا متواتر في القرآن والسنة وعمل المسلمين، وهو حد من حدود الله عز وجل، ولا يكفي أنه يقتل بالسيف، بل لا بد أن يرجم، وفي مجمع الناس علانية من أجل أن يرتدع الباقون. وهذا من محاسن الإسلام وحمايته للأعراض وحفظا للفروج، قال تعالى: والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون. ففيه حماية للنسل ووقاية المجتمع من الأمراض الفتاكة بسبب الاستمتاع غير الحلال. وقد اشتهر أمر هذه الأمراض في العصر الحديث، وظهرت إحصائيات عن مرض الإيدز الذي أصاب المجتمعات التي تشيع فيها فاحشة الزنا واللواط، ويموت الملايين الآن من البشر بسبب هذه الجريمة الفظيعة. ولهذا يقول جل وعلا: ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. ولا تقربوا الزنا، ولم يقل ولا تزنوا فقط، ومعنى ذلك اتركوا الأسباب التي توصل إلى الزنا، من النظر وسفر المرأة بدون محرم، وتبرج النساء وسفورهن واختلاطهن بالرجال، هذه أسباب للزنا، وكلها نهى عنها الشارع سدا لذريعة الوقوع في الفاحشة. الثالث: التارك لدينه وهو المرتد. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من بدل دينه فاقتلوه، لأنه شهد واعترف أن هذا الدين حق ودخل في الإسلام، ثم بعد معرفته واقتناعه يرتد، فهذا دليل على فساده، فهذا يقتل حدا حماية للدين من التلاعب، وسدا لطريق المفسدين الذين يريدون صرف الناس عن الدين، لأن بعضهم يدخل في الإسلام ظاهرا ثم يرتد، ليقول الناس: لم يرتد إلا لأنه رأى أن الدين ليس فيه صلاحية، لأن هذا الذي ارتد من المفكرين أو من المدركين للأمور، ولو أنه رأى في هذا الدين خيرا لما ارتد. هكذا يقول المنافقون وضعاف الإيمان، فإذا قتل فإن الناس يحترمون الدين ويتوقفون عن التلاعب فيه. وقوله المفارق للجماعة، قيل هو الذي يخرج على ولي الأمر ويفارق جماعة المسلمين، ويراد بذلك الخوارج والبغاة ومن شق عصى الطاعة وخرج على الجماعة، فإنه يقاتل دفعا لشره، وإذا قتل بالقتال والجهاد فإن دمه مأذون به شرعا، لأنه صيانة للدين من التلاعب وصيانة لاجتماع كلمة المسلمين، هذا هو المفارق للجماعة. فدل ذلك على أن المسلم يلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم ولا يفارقهم، فإن فارقهم استحق القتل، حماية للأمن ولجماعة المسلمين، وحماية للكلمة من التلاعب والفساد الذي يسمونه حرية الرأي. وقد كفل الإسلام حرية الرأي بالحق بأن يعمل المسلم على إظهار الحق ولا يخاف في الله لومة لائم. أما حرية الرأي بنصر الباطل وترك الدين والطعن فيه وسب أهل الخير، فهذه حرية باطلة ومفارقة للجماعة.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سمعت هذه الكلمة الطيبة في بيان هذا الحديث الذي يعتبر من جوامع الكلم لما اشتمل عليه من أهم الأحكام وأعظم الفوائد لما فيه من صلاح الدين والدنيا. والذي يجب أن يعلم وهو معلوم عند كثير من المسلمين عموما وعند أهل العلم خصوصا، أن الله عز وجل هو الذي أنزل الكتاب والسنة وهما الصراط المستقيم وهما الإسلام بما فيه من الحكم والأحكام. فالله العالم بالأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وما يصلح شأن البشرية، بل وبما يصلح شأن المخلوقات جميعها، فمما هو في صلاح بني آدم الذين ميزهم الله تبارك وتعالى بمميزات لا توجد في غيرهم من المخلوقات من العقول والقلوب والجوارح المستقيمة المستوية والألسنة الناطقة والفهم الجيد، كل ذلك ليحملوا هذا الدين العظيم بما فيه من الأحكام فيعملوا به ويبلغوه غيرهم بقدر الاستطاعة. والحقيقة أن الحدود، ومنها هذه الحدود التي جاء ذكرها في حديث في هذا الحديث، لا يقيمها إلا والي مسلم ولا يقيمها غير المسلمين. فهنيئا لأمة الإسلام الذين يطبقون تعاليم الإسلام، هم الذين يحيون حياة دنيوية طيبة وحياة برزخية طيبة وحياة أخروية طيبة، لأنهم طبقوا الإسلام الذي اختاره الله لهم وأكمله وأتمه وامتن عليهم بذلك: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا، وذلك باكتمال الكتاب والسنة، لأنه لم يبق من أجله بعد هذه الخطوة إلا وقت قصير، ولم يتوفاه الله عز وجل إلا بعد أن يكتمل الكتاب العزيز من فاتحته إلى خاتمته، وبعد أن اكتملت السنة بحذافيرها وجميع أحكامها لم يبق منها شيء إلا وهو موجود في صدور الرجال ومدون في دواوينهم. فالشاهد من هذا أن هذه الأحكام لا يقيمها إلا والي مسلم عرف الإسلام وأحبه وعرف فضله ولم يقارنه بشيء من الأديان الباطلة، ولم يقارن أحكامه بأحكام البشر القاصرة التي تضر ولا تنفع. وأما الإسلام فهو ينفع ولا يضر، فثلاثة أحكام يطبقها الوالي المسلم: رجم الثيب الزاني كما سمعنا أن الثيب هو الذي قد وطئ في نكاح صحيح امرأة مسلمة أو ذمية فزنى ببكر أو ثيب، فحده الرجم، وفي بعض الروايات الجمع بين الجلد والرجم، نكالا له وردعا لأمثاله، فإذا صحب ذلك التوبة كان الحد كفارة له إذا كان من المسلمين. والنفس بالنفس: من تعمد قتل امرئ مسلم بدون مسوغ من شرع ولا حق فجزاؤه أن يقتل به قصاصا، ولولي الدم المطالب بذلك والحق إعانته حتى ينتصر، لأنه مظلوم بالاعتداء على قريبه. والثالث المفارق لجماعة المسلمين، التارك لدين الإسلام بعد أن دخل فيه، لأنه ما عرف حقيقة الإسلام، وإلا من تذوق حلاوة الإسلام وتمتع بأحكامه وفرائضه وحدوده فإنه لم يترك الإسلام، ولكن لضعف الإيمان واليقين ولانقياد للهوى والشيطان والنفس الأمارة بالسوء يخرج الإنسان من الإسلام، سواء دخل فيه نفاقا أم أنه دخل فيه رغبة ولكن انقطعت تلكم الرغبة لضعف إيمانه أو لنفاقه ولانقياده لأعدائه الثلاثة: الشيطان والهوى والنفس الأمارة بالسوء. فالحمد لله على بيان الحق وظهور الإسلام وبيان أحكامه، وأنه لا عيش إلا في ظل الإسلام في دنيا العمل وفي حياة البرزخ والحياة الأخروية.
أولا يقولون: أبلغ والدك أن نحبه في الله عز وجل، مسجد دار للسنة يحبونك في الله عز وجل يقولون. ثم عندهم سؤال يقول السائل: زوجتي لديها أطفال من زوج سابق، ماذا يجب علي نحوهم؟
أبشرك بالأجر العظيم إذا أحسنت التعامل معهم كما تتعامل مع أبنائك لصلبك، ولك الأجر عند الله عز وجل، وهو من تمام العشرة لهذه الزوجة الضعيفة الذي بين يديك ومعها الأطفال. فكن لهم كالأب الحكيم الحنون تربية إسلامية وبقدر ما تستطيع، واحتسب ذلك ذخرا عند الله عز وجل وأنت في أمس الحاجة إذا قدمت على هذا العمل الصالح الذي جبرت به أطفال وأم الأطفال كذلك.
أحسن الله إليكم. يقول السائل: هل يجوز وضع طاولة في السوق من أجل دعوة الناس إلى الإسلام؟ طاولة يجلسون عليها في الأسواق من أجل دعوة الناس إلى الإسلام، في محلات تجارية وكذا يضعون طاولة ويجلسون عليها من أجل الدعوة، تعريف الكفار بالإسلام وكذا،
يعني يعظون الناس.
أي نعم، لا، من أجل دعوتهم إلى الدخول في الإسلام في بلاد الكفر.
كل وسيلة شرعية ليس فيها شيء محرم تتخذ وسيلة لدعوة الناس للدخول في الإسلام فهي طيبة ومن الإسلام. والشيء الذي ينهى عنه الإسلام هو الذي يحذر ولا يستفاد منه. فعني دعوة الناس في الأسواق، فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل السوق ويدعو الناس إلى الإسلام، كما كان في أسواق العرب. فهذا عمل طيب، ولكن لابد من الحكمة ولابد من العلم ولابد من الصبر والتحمل حتى لا يحصل بين الدعاة وبين الناس مشكلات تصل إلى حد لا يصلح، فلا مانع من هذا العمل.
أحسن الله إليكم. يسأل: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: هلاك أمتي في الكتاب واللبن. قالوا: يا رسول الله، ما الكتاب واللبن؟ قال: يتعلمون القرآن فيتأولونه على غير ما أنزل الله عز وجل، ويحبون اللبن فيدعون الجماعات والجمع ويبدون. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: هلاك أمتي في الكتاب واللبن. قالوا: يا رسول الله، ما الكتاب واللبن؟ قال: يتعلمون القرآن فيتأولونه على غير ما أنزل الله عز وجل، ويحبون اللبن فيدعون الجماعات والجمع ويبدون. يسأل، هو في الأحاديث الصحيحة، يسأل عن معنى الحديث.
معنى الحديث واضح، وهو أن القرآن الكريم لا يجوز لأحد أن يفسره برأيه، فمن فسر القرآن برأيه ولو أصاب فهو مخطئ ومعتدل ومعتدي. فلا بد من الأخذ بكتب التفسير ما يختار منها بواسطة العلماء الراسخين في العلم، ويستفاد من كتبهم. وثانيا، من بدأ جفا، من تتبع البادية فاتته الجمع والجماعات، ومن فاتته الجمع والجماعات رغبة عنها فهو من أهل الجور والظلم، ومن أهل المفارقة لجماعة المسلمين. فهذا لا يجوز لأحد أن يختاره لنفسه، بل لزوم الجماعة هو منهج السلف الصالح، وهو طريق المسلمين الذين عرفوا إسلامهم. فيبين للناس بأن هذا خطأ، ترك الجمع والجماعات وحب البادية من أجل الراحة النفسية، كل هذا لا يجوز، ومن بدا فقد جفا.
هذا، وصلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه، وبعد. Just before we begin, I'll ask the brothers to come forward, inshallah. Come forward so we leave some space for the people who come in. Squeeze up forward, inshallah. Yeah, so we have reached hadith number 14. Hadith number 14. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث: الثيب الزاني، والنفس بالنفس، والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. On the authority of ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه, that he said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the blood of a Muslim may not be spilled except for one of these three cases: the one who was married and commits fornication, a life for a life, and the one who leaves his religion, separating from the jama'ah. Related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the Shaykh's son, Hafidhahullah, he began to read some commentary on this hadith or this issue by Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. And as you have heard, the line was very bad. So we missed some of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, but we mentioned inshallah the ones that we have. So Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he said that Islam came to preserve the five necessities. Islam was revealed and it came to preserve five things which are necessary to the people. The first one, to preserve the religion. First one is to preserve the religion. Second one, to preserve the intellect. Third one, is to preserve the soul, souls of the people. To preserve the souls of the people, or the life. The fourth one is to preserve the wealth. To preserve the wealth. And the last one is to preserve the honor. Preserve the honor. So preserve the religion, the intellect, the life, the wealth, and the honor. So the Sheikh said, these five things which Islam came to preserve, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the other hadith where he said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, whosoever testifies and says La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and he establishes the prayer and he pays the zakah, then he had preserved, or he had protected his wealth and his honor from me, and his accounting is with Allah. His accounting is with Allah. Yes, so in hadith, also in al-hadith, I was commanded to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah, and they establish the prayer and they pay the zakah, and if they do so, then they have protected their wealth and their honor from me, and their accounting is with Allah. So the Sheikh said, so whosoever makes it apparent that he is following Islam or he is a Muslim, then we accept that from him. Whosoever says or he makes apparent that he is a Muslim, then we have accepted that from him, and we respect his wealth, his blood, and his honor. And we deal with this person, the person who does this, we deal with him just like we deal with the Muslims. So the ruling of the Muslims is also applied to him, except in the case where he commits one of three things. Yes, so he's dealt with such in a way that you deal with the Muslims. So his blood, his honor, his wealth are protected. You cannot transgress. However, if he does one of three things, then this sanctity or this preserving of his honor, wealth goes. And the first one is when he kills someone unjustly, when he takes the soul or the life of a person unjustly. And the Sheikh said that Islam came with al-qasas, to establish the punishment on the killer. Yes, for example, a life for a life. Al-qasas here is a life for a life. So when someone takes the life of a person unjustly, then his life also are taken, or he's killed to compensate for that life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum al-qasas. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, it has been prescribed for you al-qisas. When someone kills someone, you kill him as well. So the Sheikh said, then this is an obligation. This is an obligation if the family of the person who was killed ask for it. If the family of the deceased person ask for the killing of the killer, then this becomes an obligation. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةِ. And in establishing the qisas, establishing this punishment, you have a life. You have life in it because it preserves the life of other people. So the Sheikh said, and if this punishment or this prescribed punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was abandoned, then killing would be widespread and transgression and oppression would be widespread if this was left and was not established and carried out. And the Sheikh also continued, he says that the man-made laws and the man-made regulations now do not kill the person who killed unjustly. A person who kills another person unjustly, he is not to be killed. So what they do, the Sheikh said, they put him in prison. They put him in prison and do other things as well, to punish him. And you see some people, they put them, the Sheikh said, 500 years in prison. 500 years, 300 years, 200 years, so on. So they don't kill him. So the limit, the Sheikh said, the absolute limit is that he goes to prison, whether for life or whatever. But he goes to prison, he is not killed. So this is according to their man-made laws. Okay, the second one is the person who was fortified, he was married before, and then he commits fornication. He was fortified before, but he commits fornication. And the Sheikh said, the word he used is a thayyib. And the Sheikh said, the thayyib is the person who married before, and he commits adultery, whether he married a Muslim or from the people of the book, Jew or Christian. So the one who was married, who married before, and he married from either a Muslim or from the people of the book, a Jew or Christian. And so this person, when he commits the fornication, he is to be killed. he is to be يعني, stoned to death, because he is from the people who cause corruption in a land. By him fornicating, he causes corruption in the land, and he has no excuse for that, because he married, so he had no excuse to fornicate. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered for killing him. And also he has that which suffices him from fornicating. And also the Shaykh said, yeah, Shaykh Salih al-Husayn continues, says, this is a proof of his evil, this is a proof of his wickedness. Yes, how wicked he is and how evil he is. When he fornicates, this is a proof for his evilness. So the Shaykh said, then this person should be stoned to death. This person should be stoned to death. And this ruling or this punishment has been narrated, mutawatir, has been narrated in big number of by big number of narrators from the Sunnah and from the Quran as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, and in the Sunnah has been narrated يعني, in a mutawatir way, which is by a large number of narrators. And it is one يعني, this one, it is one a punishment from the punishments, from the prescribed punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh said it is not sufficient to kill the person with the sword. The person who fornicates, it is not sufficient to kill him with the sword. Rather, he should be stoned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he orders us to preserve our private parts. And he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And those who preserve and protect their private parts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks well of them. So in this punishment, the Shaykh said, is preservation of the lineage of the people. You preserve the lineage of the people, so everyone know يعني, his children and so on. And also it preserves from يعني, yeah, it protects the people from enjoying something which is not in a permitted way. So they're enjoying something, استمتاع الحرام, يعني to enjoy something in an unlawful way. So it protects from this as well. And the Shaykh continued, he said, and for that reason, you'd see many of the countries which abandoned this, or يعني, the non-Muslim countries as well, because they did not implement any of them, but they say, you see the spread of fornication, and you see the spread of diseases. Like he mentioned, HIV and AIDS. You see the spread of this because it's permissible for anyone to do this. So that's why it's يعني, largely widespread in the countries of the non-Muslims. And millions of people يعني, are victims of this disease and they die because of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forbids for us to even go near fornication. And he said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah said, do not go near fornication. Do not go near fornication, for indeed it was يعني, something fahish, something evil, and an evil way. It's something evil, and also it's an evil way. So we have missed the third one, يعني the commentary of Sheikh Fawzan on the third one. But Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali Hafidhullah, he began by saying, in this hadith is a clarification. The hadith we're going through now is a clarification, and also before that, this hadith, he said, is considered to be from the Jawami' al-Kalim, from the most comprehensive speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it means يعني, few in words but large in meaning. So it is from the comprehensive word speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh said this hadith included many of the important rulings in Islam, and also many of the benefits. The benefits which يعني, if the person follows, or the rulings of which if the person follows, he will rectify his life in this dunya, and he will rectify his life in hereafter, if he follows these rules. And these rulings, the Shaykh said, most of the people, or most of the Muslims and the scholars, they know. Or the Shaykh says rather, the Muslims, most of the Muslims and the scholars, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran and the Sunnah. He revealed the Quran and the Sunnah, and they are the straight path. The Quran and Sunnah is the straight path. Yes, which Islam came to encourage the people to follow. And also this hadith has wisdom and other يعني, legislations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh said, is the one who knows everything, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. And he knows that which happened before and that which is going to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows everything, and he knows that which will rectify the humans. Rather, he knows everything that will rectify the any type of creation, not just the humans, any type of creation. So the Shaykh said, so this hadith, or the rulings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, is from the rectification of the children of Adam, the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished out of يعني from the other creation. He distinguished them from the other creation in things which only them, only the humans have. And these things are the intellect. Yes, Allah distinguished the human beings from the animals and other creation with intellect, hearts, limbs which are free from any deficiency, tongues, and also the good understanding and the ability to understand and comprehend. All of that, the Sheikh said, so that they can carry this religion and act upon it. All of that so they can carry this religion and act upon it as much as they are able to. Then he continued, Hafizahullah, and he said, and in reality, the prescribed punishments, in reality, there are prescribed punishments, and from them, what is mentioned here, from those prescribed punishments, is what has been mentioned in the hadith. It is not to be carried out or established except with a ruler, a Muslim ruler. All of those prescribed punishments are not to be carried out except by a Muslim ruler. Only a Muslim ruler will carry out these prescribed punishments. So the Sheikh said, the non-Muslim would not carry out these prescribed punishments. Someone who is a non-Muslim is not to be to carry out these prescribed punishments of Allah. So the Sheikh said, glad tidings to this nation, glad tidings to this ummah, those who carry out the punishments of Allah. So the Sheikh said, glad tidings to those of the Muslims who carry out and establish and implement the rulings and the punishments of Allah. And they are the ones who will live a good life in this life and in the hereafter, because they have chosen the religion of Allah that He has chosen for them. Those people have chosen the religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم إسلام دينا. Allah said, today I have perfected your religion for you, and I have bestowed my favor upon you, and I have chosen Islam as a religion for you. So those people have chosen Islam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for them. And the Sheikh said also that يعني the Sunnah and the Quran and the Sunnah have been completed. The Quran and Sunnah have been completed, and nothing remained after the completion of the Quran and the Sunnah in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except little time. After the Quran and the Sunnah were completed, only a little bit of time remained, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. And after the revelation had had stopped by the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this religion was carried out or was preserved in the hearts of the people. In the hearts of the people of knowledge, it was preserved, and these rulings and all of the ahkam and the rule, yani legislations in Islam, was preserved in the hearts of the people after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sheikh said the bottom line, or yani the main point here, is that the rulings, the prescribed punishments, when you implement the punishments of Allah, is not to be established by anyone. It's not to be established by anyone, but rather it should be established by a Muslim leader. It has to be established by a Muslim leader, a Muslim leader who knows Islam and he loved it, and he would not swap it for any other religion. And also he would not swap it with any man-made laws. Yes, so this type of ruler is the one who establishes the punishments. And also the Sheikh said, the person does not choose the man-made laws which harms and does not benefit. Yes, so the people would not choose the man-made laws which harms and does not benefit. Rather, they choose Islam and the rulings of Islam and the legislation of Islam, they benefit and they do not harm. So the Sheikh said, these are the three people who the punishment here is established against. They are killed, yani. These people are killed. The first one, al-thayyib al-zani. The first one is a person who is married and commits fornication. This person is to be stoned to death, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And the Sheikh said in another narration of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you punish him by stoning and by lashing. You combine between them, lashing. Yes. So the Sheikh said in another narration, you lash him and you stone him to death. Yani you stone him as well. So the Sheikh said, when the person goes under this punishment of Allah, when it's carried out against him, if he has repented alongside this punishment, then this punishment acts as an expiation for his sin. Yes? If he repents and he gets punished in this life, then this this punishment acts as an expiation for his sin which he committed. And this is if he's Muslim, yes? If he's Muslim and he repents and the punishment is still established against him, then his sin is gone, he's wiped away. The second one is a soul for a soul. So a life for a life. When someone kills another person unjustly, then he is to be killed by the leader, of course, the person in charge, if he kills him unjustly. And the person who carries this punishment is the leader, of course. Because this person oppressed another person, he transgressed over another person, and he killed him unjustly. So he has to be killed as well, as a compensation for his oppression. The third one, the person who apostates from his religion after becoming Muslim. The one who leaves this religion of Islam after he became Muslim, he is to be killed as well. And the Shaykh said, this one is the one who abandons and leaves the religion of Islam after he entered into Islam. And this one, he does so because he did not taste the sweetness of Islam. He did not taste the sweetness of Iman. So that's why he left the religion. And also the Shaykh said, it is because of his weakness in Iman. He has weak Iman and he lacks in certainty and inqiyad, in submission. He lacks in certainty and submission. This led him to leave in Islam. So the person, he follows his desire, or he follows his soul that commands him to do evil. Yes, the person, you would find a person that he follows his desire, or he follows his conscience, which tells him to do evil. So you'd see him that he leave Islam. And it is maybe that he entered Islam as a hypocrite anyway. He entered it as a hypocrite, or he entered it, but his iman got so weak that he left it. Or because he follows one of three things which misguides the person. And this is the shaitan, the desire, and the soul which commands you to do evil. Or the conscience which commands you to do evil. So the person, the Shaykh said, he leaves Islam because of one of these reasons. And he said, so we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise is due to Allah for these rulings that He has revealed in the Quran and the Sunnah to preserve the life of the Muslims and the life of the people in this life. And it leads to happiness. It leads, these rulings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His Messenger, it leads to happiness in this life and in the hereafter. Now, so we missed the first question because of the connection. The telephone collection. However, the second one was, is it permissible to have a da'wah table? Yani a table on a street or in a market to call people to Islam. Is it permissible, or is this legislated method to call people to Islam? The Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, every method or every way which has nothing haram in it, any method to call the people to Islam which has not anything haram in it, anything that is prohibited, then this is good. Any method that does not any haram, and you call it to Islam, you call the people to Islam through, then this is good. And it is from Islam. It could be considered from Islam. And anything which has anything that Islam forbids, then this is what the person should be aware of. Anything which has any has prohibition in Islam, then the person should be aware of this. And calling the people to Islam in the markets is something which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He used to go to the markets, as has been narrated from him, and he used to call the people, and he would tell them, say la ilaha illallah. Naam. And however, the Shaykh said, it is a must that the person has knowledge, has wisdom, and has patience as well. Because sometimes, between those people who call to Islam and the people, the general people, something happens and a conflict takes place, and they start fighting, or they start doing something which is not befitting for the people. So the Shaykh said, there is no prohibition in this, as long as it does not have any prohibition in Islam. The third question was, there's a hadith in the Silsila Sahiha by Shaykh Albani, which said, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the destruction of my ummah will be in the book and in the milk. The destruction of my ummah will be in the book and in the milk. So they asked the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions, what is the book and what is the milk? where's the explanation? Where's the book and where's the milk? He said they would interpret the Quran in other than the way Allah revealed it. And the milk, he said, they would love milk too much that they would leave the Jama'ah, the congregation, and they would go to the Bedouin sides. They would go to the deserts, so they would abandon the congregation of the Muslims. So the question is, what is the explanation of this? The Shaykh said, Hafidhullah, he said, the meaning is very clear. The meaning of this hadith is very clear, is that the Quran is not permissible for anyone to interpret the Quran in his own way. It is not permissible for the person to interpret the Quran in his own way, but rather he should go back to the explanation of the scholars in the books of tafsir. You go back to the books of tafsir and you see what the scholars said about the tafsir. And the person who interprets the Quran in his own way, even if he's correct, then he is mistaken or he's sinful. If he says it, if he interprets it in his own way and it does not know, but he reaches the truth, يعني he said the true meaning, he is mistaken and he is sinful because he interpreted it in his own way. And this person is a transgressor as well if he does so. So the Shaykh said it is a must that you take from the books of tafsir, يعني through the scholars who are well established in knowledge, and you benefit from the ulama. As for the Shaykh said, وَمَنْ بَدَى جَفَى, and the one who seeks to go to the desert and leave the Jama'ah, then he becomes harsh, or he transgresses. مَنْ بَدَى فَقَدْ جَفَى, so the one who goes to the Badiyah, then he falls into excessiveness or transgression. So the Shaykh said that the people will go to the Bedouin sides or to the desert sides because of the comfort they find in the life they see there, and an easy life. They go there and they would leave the Jama'ah of the Muslim. So they abandon the cities and they go to the desert sides and they would leave the congregation of the Muslims. So whosoever, the Shaykh said, anyone who does this, who leaves the Jama'ah of the Muslims, يعني, while disliking it, disliking the Jama'ah of the Muslims, then this person, then he is the person who, يعني, from the person the Messenger of Allah is referring to, that he will be destroyed because he left the Jama'ah. And the Shaykh said, it is not permissible for anyone to choose for himself to abandon the Jama'ah, but rather sticking to the congregation of the Muslims, to the Jama'ah of the Muslims, is the methodology of the Salaf, of the pious predecessors, those who preceded us. This is their way. Their way was to stick to the Jama'ah, not abandon them. So the Shaykh said, you have to clarify to the people, you have to make the people aware that this is a mistake when they abandon Jama'ah and they go to the desert, because they love the desert places, and also because they find comfort in that. Yes, so they deserting the people and leaving the Jama'ah and living there for the rest of your life, the Shaykh said this is a mistake, and the people have to be told. وَمَنْ بَدَى فَقَدْ جَفَى, and the one who goes to the desert and leaves the Jama'ah, then he transgresses. وَصَلَى اللَّهُمْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ